Jesus was raised to meet our needs. If you and I were all honest today, the events after the resurrection that we read from the Gospels would probably be just a little bit different if we were Jesus. You think about it. You've got the opportunity to come back where nobody knows you. What are you going to do? After the resurrection, I think I would probably have gone to Caiaphas' house. And when I got through playing Casper the Friendly Ghost with him, I probably would have gone to the palace of Pontius Pilate and kind of done the same. I might have went over to the barracks of the soldiers who had crucified me, and I think I would have had a lot more fun on Easter morning. I think things would have been a little differently. But you see, Jesus took a whole different approach. He only appeared to people who were already His followers. He appeared to them at a point of their need. He appeared to them in their need. And the purpose of each appearance was to strengthen their faith so that they would be able to re-engage in ministry. You see, our gospel lesson today from John's gospel contains two of these resurrection appearances. The first account, Jesus did two very important things to strengthen the faith of His disciples. First, He showed them His hands and His side. He wanted to make sure that they knew His appearance was not a case of mistaken identity. He wanted them to know who He was. Second, He spoke words to them that addressed their deepest needs. He talked to them. You see, Jesus' words offered four very precious gifts to His disciples. The first gift that He offered them was peace. They needed peace so desperately. You see, because they were terrified, they were so afraid, they had been hiding, they had gone back to that room and they were hiding. And then everywhere they went, they were just sitting there waiting. They were afraid. Jesus wanted them to know that believers do not find peace in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. You find peace in the presence of God. You see, our world, which is dominated by fear, needs peace from the risen Christ this day. Jesus' second gift this day was purpose. The disciples were lost. They did not know what to do. Now Jesus says to them in verse 21b, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So I'm coming to send you. The purpose and their purpose and our purpose is to function as Christ's representatives in this world. The decision to be a Christian is a choice. It's our choice. But once we make that decision, it determines our primary vocation. The third gift that Jesus offered His disciples today in that upper room was power. You see, Jesus breathed on them and said to them in verse 22, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You will have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Receive the Holy Spirit. He had previously told them that they received the Holy Spirit, but God would deposit a river of living water in their hearts. You know, "I've got a river of life flowing out of me." He's going to put that river of life in you, and it's going to be through you. And now they received the Spirit that's there. So God's Spirit is available to you and I today. And have you received the fullness of that Spirit? Do you know the fullness of that Spirit? The final gift that Jesus gave that day was an opportunity for penance, forgiveness, and the power to loose those people from sins. Penance, to let go of, to ask God's forgiveness. Jesus gave them, and He gives us that privilege of listening with a discerning ear. Listening with a discerning ear and speaking truth to people. Either God has forgiven you for what you did, or I don't think you have fully dealt with this yet. What an awesome privilege and responsibility that God has given to us, that we need to forgive ourselves, we need to forgive others, we need to ask His forgiveness. You see, Thomas, though, however, was a different story. Because he was not present in the first revealing of Jesus to the disciples. He was not there at that resurrection encounter, so he was doubting. That's why he's been called throughout Scripture Doubting Thomas. His response to hearing what had taken place was typical of many people that I know. How many people says, "Well, you know, you have to prove it to me before I'm going to believe it. You got to show me. You've got to give me some evidence before I'm going to believe you, before I'm going to take that leap of faith, before I'm going to step out." You got to show me. You see, if you and I had been in Jesus' place, we would have probably resented Thomas's doubt in spirit. We would have probably said, "Are you ye of little faith? What's wrong with you, Thomas? Don't you believe?" We would have gotten so very upset with him. We'd have probably said, "No magic tricks for you today, Thomas. Nah, we're not going to do it." But instead of reprimanding him, like most of us probably would have, 8 days later, what did Jesus do? He appeared to Thomas, and he took up his challenge. He said, "You say you won't believe until you touch. Okay, then, Thomas, come. Come here, Thomas. Touch my hands and touch my side." "But wait a minute, Jesus." Let's listen here. He says, "Okay, wait just a minute, Jesus. You told Mary on Easter morning that she could not touch you. Now all of a sudden you're inviting Thomas to touch you. Let's be consistent here, Lord. What's going on?" You see the difference? This is a different person and a different set of needs. Because each and every one of us come to the Lord differently. Mary came in her need. Thomas came in his need. You and I come in our need. Now you're inviting Thomas. Let's listen. What did Thomas need? Thomas needed reassurance. He needed that reassuring faith that comes. Many needed to be weaned away from being dependent on the physical presence of Jesus. Thomas needed to touch in order to believe. He needed that at that moment. You see, the bottom line is this. If you and I are seeking to follow Jesus and we have doubts, tell Jesus what you need to have happen before you will believe. Talk to Him. Tell Him what's going on in your life. Guess what? He will meet your needs. He will come to your terms. But Jesus added in verse 29, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Blessed are those who have the faith without seeing, without feeling, without touching. They just know it in their hearts. He said the resurrected Christ, you know, is alive and well. He lives. He lives. The resurrected Jesus comes to all who seek to follow Him, as Jesus did long ago at the point of our need, strengthening us for ministry in Christ's name. You see, Jesus comes to us wherever we are, no matter where we are, in the deepest, darkest hole we've ever been in, or the brightest of sunlight, or with someone we shouldn't be with, or with someone we should. He comes to us in our very need, and He says, "Here I am. Here I am. What is it that I can do for you today?" He comes to us. He was raised up to meet our needs. Let us remember that this day, and let us go in that peace. Let us pray.